Okay, today's daf is Yuma Daf Nun Dalid. We left off on Nun Gimel and Beis. We are right after the Mishnah on Nun Gimel and Beis. So the Mishnah had told us what happened after the Aron was gone, and there was just an Evan there in place of the Aron. So first we're going to discuss the different opinions as to what happened to the Aron, where the Aron went. Did the Aron go into Galus? Was the Aron hidden under the Kodesh HaKadosh? Was it hidden somewhere else in the Beis HaMikdash? And in that context, the Gemara is going to discuss the meaning of the phrase Ad Hayom Hazeh, as it appears in Psukim. How literally do we take that? Does it always mean literally forever and ever, Ad Hayom Hazeh, or does it sometimes just mean for a very long time, but not literally Ad Hayom Hazeh? The Gemara is going to quote different stories where they almost discovered the Aron, or they almost uncovered the location of the Aron, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu through Hashgacha made sure that it didn't happen, that they didn't reveal the location of the Aron. The Gemara is also going to talk about the Badim, how the Badim appeared from outside of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, how you were able to see the Badim of the Aron, and how sometimes they would unfurl the curtain in front of the Aron, so everybody was able to see the Kruvim. The Gemara then is going to talk a little bit about the Kruvim, and it's going to tell us how the guy mocked the Kruvim when they came into the Heichal and they saw the Kruvim hugging each other. They thought that it was such an inappropriate image for Kedusha that they mocked it. And Gemara, the Anamid Beis, after the two dots, it's going to discuss how the world was created, meaning where creation began. Did creation, and it will have several shitos as to where the creation of the world began, what the focal, the center point of the world is, from which everything else was created. So again, we are holding on Nun Gimlam Beis. We are right after the Mishnah. So the Mishnah had said that Mishanitala Aron Evan Hayisasham Mimos Neviim Rishonim, that when the Aron was taken, there was an Evan that was there, and that Evan was called Shesia. That's known as the Evan Shesia. That was there after the Aron was removed. It was three atzvos high, and that's where the Kohen Gadol would place the shovel full of the coal that he would burn the Ketores on. There is a so the Gemara right away picks up on that. It says Misha Nignaz lo katani ela Misha Nital. It doesn't say when the Aron was Nignaz, when it was hidden away. It says Misha Nital, when the Aron was taken. So Tanan Kamandi Amar Aron Galo Lebavel. So this seems to assume, like the Shita, that the Aron was actually taken, that it went into Galus Bavel. Detanya Rav Lazar Amar Aron Galo Lebavel Shnemar Lutshuvas Hashem Shalach Hamelch Nevuchadnezzar Veyviehu Bavela Im Klei Chemdas Beis Hashem, that it was brought to Bavel by Nebuchadnezzar. Reb Shimon Yechai Omer, Aron Gal LeBavel. Reb Shimon Yechai also says the Aron was Gal LeBavel. Shnemar, because he quotes a pasuk, Lo Yivaser Davar Amar Hashem. What's Davar? Elu Aseres Adibro Shabo. Davar is a reference to the Aseres Adibros, that they also did not remain behind. They were also taken to Bavel. Rabbi Yehuda, what's the Girsa, takes away Ben Lakish. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Aron b'mekomo nignas. Aron was the Aron was hidden in its place. It was not taken to Bavel. It was hidden away on location in the Beis Hamikdash. Shenemar v'yiru Rashi abadim in Hakadosh al pnei advir v'yiru hachutzav v'yusham ada yom hazeh. So v'yusham ada yom hazeh tells us that it's still there. We don't know exactly where, but it's somewhere under there in the makom of the Kodesh Hakadoshim, somewhere underground. The Aron is hidden away. Upliga de ula, and is against ula. Damer ula shol Rav Masi ben Cheresh is Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai Baromi v'chimeachar Shav Lozim Lamdenu Parm Rishon v'Shniya Aron Gal LeBavel. Once we already were taught that once and twice, the second time, that the Aron was Gal LeBavel. What does it mean? We were taught the first time and the second time. Rishona Hadi Amrin ve'yaveu Bavel im Kleichem Das Beis Hashem. The first time we were taught it is the pasuk that we quoted before, that it went to Bavel with the Kleichem Das Beis Hashem. Shniya Maihi. What's the second time that we're taught that the Aron went to Bavel? D'chsiv ve'yetzim Bastion Kol Hadara, Michael Hadara, Chadara. What does Hadara mean? That which is in the Chadar, as Rashi says, Hagonus b'Chadre Chadarim. That which is hidden away b'Chadre Chadarim. So we see that from these two sources that the Aron went to Bavel. So Ata Mayata Omer. So what do you say that it was Nignas b'Mekomo? Why are you saying like this? Amrlo Shani Omer Aron b'Mekomo Nignas. I believe that the Aron was Nignas b'Mekomo Shnemar ve'yuchu abadim b'Gomer. Because based on the pasuk, ve'yuchu abadim Adam that it was Ad HaYom Hazeh. So since it's Ad HaYom Hazeh, so it has to be that it's on location, Ad HaYom Hazeh. So the Gemara explains that that's the drasha. Amrle Rabbe Le'ula, Mai Mashma. Where do you see in the Pasuk of Ve'yarichu Abadim that it's still there nowadays, that it was Nignaz? So Dechsiv, Ve'yusham Ad HaYom Hazeh. It's because the Pasuk says Ad HaYom Hazeh, and we take Ad HaYom Hazeh to be very literal. So this is going to lead the Gemara to a whole discussion of, do we always take Ad HaYom Hazeh to be so literal? So there are a few points to make over here. First of all, just on the very line of the Mishnah, that when the Aron was taken away, the what remained in its place was a stone, and that stone is called the Evan Shasiya, and that stone was 3 etzbos high. So just on that very simple level, the Rashash raises the question, why didn't they make a second Aron in the Bayis Sheni? I mean, if they were missing the Aron, was it that they couldn't afford it? What was it? Why didn't they just build another Aron in the Bayis Sheni? If it's because of Nasata El Ha'aron Es Ha'edus, which sounds like the Aron's primary function, its primary purpose, is to house the Eidos. That's why the Mishkan is called the Mishkan HaEidos. Why is it Eidos? Because of the Luchos HaEidos Shabo, that the Aron's primary function is just to house the Luchos. And once the Aron was taken, whether it was Gala or Nignas or whatever, it didn't have the Luchos HaEidos. We didn't have a Luchos HaEidos to put in a new Aron. Maybe they're not making new Luchos, so maybe that's why the Aron was not, they didn't build another Aron for the second base of Mikdash. So says the Rashash, that's not a good reason. By the Choshen, it also says, "V'nasata el Choshen haMishpat esa urim." And nevertheless, according to the Shitas Arayvin in the Bayis Sheni, there was no urim v'tumim, but they still had the Choshen Mishpat of the Kohen Gadol. Why? Because the Kohen Gadol needs Shmona Begadim, so it's one of the Begadim, so they would have the Choshen Mishpat anyway. So says the Rashash, L'chori, you could say the same thing about the Aron. Granted, its function may have been to house the Luchos HaEdos, but it's also one of the Klei HaMikdash. So even if it can't actually house the Luchos HaEdos, as a Klei HaMikdash, they should have made it. So he says, maybe it's because HaKadosh Baruch Hu doubled over the Tzivoy of Nesinas HaEdos in the Aron, in Parshas Truma, and Pasuk Tet Zayin, and Pasuk Chaf Aleph. Sounds like that it's Shana of La'akev, that the Aron, missing the Eidos, is not an Aron. That it's that maybe the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells it to us twice in the Chumash is an indication that it's ma'akev the very Kedushas Ha'aron, that the Kedushas Ha'aron, we can only have an Aron if we actually have Luchos inside of it. So it sounds from that Rashash that an Aron absent the Luchos has no value. This is a Shaila Halacha L'maisa in some small yeshuvim where they don't yet own a Sefer Torah, but they start with some small shuls that start off before they even have a Sefer Torah or a Minyanim that daven in a Makom Kavua in a certain place. So if they don't have a Sefer Torah, is there any point in building an Aron? Should you at least have an Aron? Or does an Aron lack any meaning minus the Sefer Torah? So if we model everything in the Beis HaKnesses after the Beis HaMikdash, our Mikdash Ma'at is supposed, and absent the Luchos Se'edus, absent the Kedusha Satorah, the Aron has no value. There is no concept of Aron. So the Chora, we could say the same thing in terms of a Mikdash Ma'at, that absent the Sefer Torah, there's no purpose of having an Aron. The Aron is there specifically to have the Sefer Torah. Shechter writes in Eretz HaTzvi that there's a lot of symbolic meaning in the fact that the Aron houses the Luchos HaEdos, and from there emanates the entire Kedusha. The whole Mishkan is called Mishkan HaEdos because of Luchos HaEdos, which means that Kedusha Yisrael starts with Torah. That it has to be, and why is it that Yoshio HaMelech had to be Gonez according to the Shita that Raman Paskin's like that, it's Nignaz B'Mekomo, that it wasn't brought into Galus. Why is it that it had to be Nignaz B'Mekomo? Why couldn't it be brought into Galus like everything else? Because there never could have been a second Beis HaMikdash if the Aron wasn't there. Without the Kedusha HaTorah, there is no Kedusha Beis HaMikdash. The entire Kedusha emanates from the Kedusha HaTorah. So that's where it all has to begin. That's the way the Kedusha works. Rav Shechter writes this Halacha L'maisa, when it comes to building shuls, a lot of times they'll build the Aron recessed in against the wall, where the Aron is ki'ilu in a second room. It's like it's in a separate room from the rest of the shuli. So that's really not the best way to do it. The best way to do it is to have the Aron in the room itself, because that's where the whole kedusha of the room comes from the Aron being present, not from being recessed in against the wall. Okay, so that's one point to make over here. Another point, the we had this this machlokas tanoim, whether it was what sounds like a machlokas tanoim, whether the aron was galal lebavel or was niglas b'mukomo, the Ben Yoyada suggests that maybe both are true. Maybe both are divrei elokim chayim, that there were shnei aronos, one that had the luchos shnios and one that had the shivrei luchos. So the one that had the luchos shnios was munach b'kodesh hakadoshim, and the second one was munach somewhere else in the base of mikdash, and that was the one that was galal lebavel. And when it was returned, hunach b'lishchas dira etzim, which when we see soon, that the Gemara talks about a special place in the Dira Eitzim where maybe there was an Aron. So, but the Pashtus is it's a machlokas. Very clear, it seems pretty clear from the Gemara that it's a machlokas. The Rambam paskins in this machlokas, as I just mentioned. The Rambam in the fourth parak of Hilchos Beis HaBechira paskins that Yoshio was gone as the Aron, that Yoshio hid the Aron away. So first thing when the Rambam paskins, the first question you have to ask is, why is he paskining? L'may nafkamina, that he would have to paskin in this machlokas. The Rambam paskins halacha, this is a historical question, it's not a halachic question. So Rabbi Yaakov Emden already raises that question. L'may nafkamina, why would the Rambam paskin that Yoshio was gonzo? The Rambam is not coming to be machri ani machlokas, or there's no nafkamina ladina. So he says, no, there is a nafkamina. Bizman hazeh, according to the Shita Suram, that the Kedushas Beis HaMikdash is not batal bizman hazeh, and it's roi lahakrav sham, and someone who's nichnas there is chayiv kares. So the Rambam holds that's dafka l'man diyamr, that the Aron is niglas sham. But if you hold that it was galal lebavel, so the whole Kedushas Habayis would be batal. So the Rambam says, this is the Rambam l'shita, so the Rambam says it has to be that it was niglas sham, otherwise we can't say that the Kedusha is still there. The Kedusha wouldn't be there without the Aron. Again, similar to what we were saying before from Rav Shachter, that that's the basis of the Kedusha. It has to be there. Now the other question is, why does the Rambam paskin that way? So the Rabbi Yaakov's answer sort of answers that he paskins that way because he holds that the Kedusha is still there, and he holds that it can only be there if the Aron is still there. But the Siach Yitzchak says that the Gvur Sari rather is Mechadesh based on the Gemara in Horios that everyone was Moda, the Yoshio was going as the Aron. It's just that the Shita that holds that it was Galal Bavel is because it holds that it was Niskalal Machrivim, that even though Yoshio hid it away, those who were destroying the Beis HaMikdash found it. So it's an interesting idea that Gvur Sari suggests, similar to the Ben Yoyada, that Eilu Veilu Divrei Elokim Chayim, that the two Deos, whether it went to Bavel or whether it was Nigdasham, aren't really arguing, except he says it differently. Not that it's about two different Aronos, it's about one Aron. Yoshio hid it, and it didn't work. And they found it, and then they were in the Skala of the Bavel. So he says it could be that everyone agrees that it was Nignes. The whole question is, was it also Niskala of the Bavel? So when the Ram says that Yoshio Gunzo, he's not paskining. Everyone holds like that. The only question is, did they later find it? And one last point before we go on. So the Gemara had said that, how do we know from the Pasuk, Ve'etim Bastion Kol Hadara, that the Aron left? So we said, my kal hadara chadara, chadre chadarim, that which is in the chadre chadarim, which is a reference to the Aron. So the Marsha just points out that a lot of times hey and ches are interchangeable, but he raises the question, why do we need to interchange it over here? Kal hadara would not have been obvious enough. What is kal hadara? Kal hadara is the Torah, it's the Aron, it's the hidur of the Beis HaMikdash, the hadram shal Yisrael, that we darshan all the time about the Aron. So why do you have to change it for a ches? So the Iye Hayam, he's mitarets, that it doesn't say klei hadara, it's like klei chemdas Beis Hashem, that hadara sounds like that the Torah is the hadram shal Yisrael, that it's only that the Torah, which is hadram shal Yisrael, is nigna. But it doesn't sound like it would be going on the Aron, meaning whenever we darshan Hadram Shal Yisrael, it's a reference to the Torah, not necessarily for the Aron. Chadara is that which is Bechadre Chadarim, that relates to the Aron in particular. Okay, but anyway, so we said, how do we know that it was that it's Nignaz? Because it says that it's still there, Ad HaYom HaZeh. So frek the Gemara about five lines in, and Nun Dalet Amud Aleph, V'kal Hecha D'chsiv Ad HaYom HaZeh Li'olam Hu. Does Ad HaYom HaZeh literally mean forever? Vaksiv pasuk says vaseyavusi yoshiv Yerushalayim lo rishu bnei Binyamin veyeshiv ayavusi as bnei Binyamin Yerushalayim ad hayom hazeh. So achinami delo galu. What? Where the Yavusi never went into galus? So where's this pasuk? There's a pasuk in Sefer Shoftim. So the Marsha just wonders, is there no pasuk in Chumash that we could quote from? Why don't we ask from the pasuk in the, there is a pasuk in the Torah, in Devarim Perek Beis, pasuk Chav Beis, the Torah tells us, Kasher Asul Levnei Esav, V'yesh V'tachtam Ad Hayom Hazeh. And also you have the same Kasha that it's not Ad Hayom Hazeh. Why don't we ask from the Kasha in Chumash? So Niyun Yaakov, he says, better to ask from Divrei Kabbalah, because to Divrei Kabbalah, that if we're asking on a pasuk in Divrei Kabbalah, it's better to ask from another pasuk in Divrei Kabbalah, because otherwise we could just simply say, Lashon Torah L'chud, Lashon Nevi'im L'chud, that the Torah speaks in a slightly different language. There are slightly different nuances in the language that the way the Torah speaks and the way the Nevi'im speak. So we'd rather ask from a pasuk in Navi. But bottom line, we're asking a question over here. What, did the Yavusi never go into Golos? V'atani Rabbi Domer Chamishim Shayim Shana Lo'aver Ishvi Yehuda Shemar Laharim Esa Bechi V'nehi V'alnos Midbar Kira Kinat Sasum Yivliyish Over V'lo Shamu Kol Miklim Ba'of Hashemayim Vad Behem Enadro Alachu, that Yerushalayim was entirely desolate for 52 years. Nobody and nothing was there. Behema begematria chamishim u'shtayim havu. Behema's begematria 52. That's how we know it's 52 years. V'tayin Rabbi Yossi Yomer Sheva Shonim Niskayim Gafrus Melech Beretz Sol. 7 years of Gafrus and Melech in Eretz Sol. Just salt and sulfur. There was nothingness. Everything was desolate. Everything was destroyed. So how could you say they never went into Galus? V'amar Rabbi Yochanan, my time with Rabbi Yossi. Ask your bris bris. Where does Rabbi Yossi learn this from? That it was Gafrus from Melech. He learns a Gzer Sheva bris bris. Ksiv Hacha, it says in Sefer Daniel, Vihigbir Bris Larabim Shavua Echad, and Ksiv Hasam, and the Pasuk says in Sefer Devarim, Varma Lashar Azwes Bris Hashem Elokei Avosam. But bottom line, we have a question. How can you say that Ad Olam means forever? We see explicitly, but when it talks about the Yevusi living in Yerushalayim, that it's not forever, that it stays that the Yishuv in Yerushalayim didn't last forever. Now the emphasis on Gafris v'Melech, on the utter destruction, Beis Halevi points out in the Drasha, in the Chel Gimel of the Beis Halevi, in the Drashos, in Drosh Ches, that the Gezeira explains just how great the anger and the desolation and the sense that we were abandoned was in the time of the Churban HaBayis. The Medrash quotes on the pasuk of Vayisa Artzchem Shemama Va'arechem Yu Charava. What's Va'arechem Yu Charava? So that's a midah kasha, that when a Balabayis goes, has to leave his city and he plans on coming back, so he doesn't destroy his house. He just goes and he takes everything with him. He takes whatever he needs for the journey with him, but he's not going to actually destroy the structure of his house. He's not going to ruin all the furniture. But when a person goes Mibeso and he destroys it, so that's a clear indication that he never planned and coming back. So the Shas HaChorban, it wasn't just that Klal Yisrael was sent out, that the Balabatim were sent out, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent the people away from their homes. It's that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the land worthless. He destroyed the land entirely. So that was very depressing for us, that it looked like that there was Ein Sof HaMlachzer, that there was no hope for the future. There was a tremendous sense of despair, that we were never going to come back to the Beis HaMikdash. That was the ultimate sense of despair that we had at the Shas HaChorban. So anyway, so the Gemara has this question, so how do we understand Ad HaYom HaZeh? So I'm like, Hach Ksiv Sham, Hasam Lo Ksiv Sham. It depends if it says Sham. When it says Sham, so then it's Li Olam. When it doesn't say Sham, then it doesn't mean Li Olam. V'kal Heichad Ksiv Sham Li Olam Hu? Is that rule really true? Anytime it says Sham, it means that it's forever, that it's Li Olam. Meisvei, I'll ask on that as well. Umehem min b'nei Shimon halchu lahar seir anashim chamesh meos uplateu na'er that it says, and we know that whoever lived there then is not living there now, because Sancheriv Melchashur came and was mevalbel all the lands. The original Frenchmen aren't French, and the original Germans aren't German. They were all mixed around with Sancheriv. Shnemer v'asin gvulos amim v'asidosem. What's the pasuk? That the asudo sehem show say see that they've all been mixed around, they've all been moved around. So how can you say that when it says sham and ad olam, that it necessarily means that it's forever? You see that it's not forever, even when it says sham. Says Gemara, tiyufta. that it's a tiyufta. The Sfasem just points out we don't ask tiyuftas on brises. It's not a tiyufta on a brisa. We're going on the answer of Ula, where it says sham, that that any time it says sham, that it's the olam. So that's what the Gemara is saying tiyufta, that that rule is not really true. So rather, it's for whatever reason there was a drasha that was made from Ada Yom Hazeh in the pasuk about the aron that the aron remained in place. We're not slugging up that drasha. We don't ask a tiyufta on a drasha of Tanaim. We're just asking a tiyufta on the rule that the word sham means forever. So we're back to the kasha really of how do we know that Ada Yom Hazeh means forever in the context of the aron? But we have to assume that there was some sort of misara in Tanaim, that there must have been something to let them know that it was there, that in that context it meant forever. But it's not the word sham. That's all we were able to disprove, that the word sham isn't what does it for us. Amar Rav Nachman, Tana v'chamam aron b'lishchas dira etzim hayaganos, that the aron was hidden in the lishchas dira etzim. Amar Rav Nachman Rei Yitzchak, afan anami tanina, we have a raya to this, because there's a story as follows. Ma'isa b'koin echad, sheim es asek, v'ra ritzba m'shuna m'chavroseha. A koin was involved in something, and he saw, right, Rashi says he was m'sasek, b'til l'schok, he was just tam hanging out around the Beis Hamikdash, the Rambam says he misasik b'karduma l'malachto. He was dealing with his axe. He was trying to get it ready for his work. Anyway, he was in the lishchas dira etzim, and he sees a ritzba mishuna mechavrosei. He sees one floor tile looks different than the other floor tiles. Ubavo dias chavero. So he went to let somebody else know. V'lo hispik ligmar sadavar ad sheyatz nishmaso. And as he was trying to share the news, he died. So and we knew that that must have been the location that the aron was nignas. Biyichud Rashi says means bebirur, that we knew that this was for sure that the aron was hidden there. The Meiri says no, biyichud means that it was nimsalahem besod, that they found out besod that somehow that the aron was hidden there. So the how did they know the whole story if the guy died before he said anything? So Pashtas says he said I saw a tile that was different than the rest, and he just didn't reveal the location. So before he was able to reveal the location, the rest of the story we knew, just the location we didn't know. And then he dropped dead before he was able to reveal the location. So Ma'ava Avid, what was he doing? Amar Bichalbo Misasik B'Karduma Haya. What he was doing is, Gemara says explicitly, he was being Misasik B'Karduma. He was preparing his axe. Tana Debei Rabbi Yishmael, Shnei Kohanim Bali Mumin Hayim Matliin Be'etzim. One time there were two Kohanim Bali Mumin who were busy being Matliya Etzim. They were deworming wood in the Beis HaMikdash. V'nishmeta Karduma Shalechem Mehem V'nafla Sham V'yatza Eish V'achaltav. And one of the axes fell out of one of their hands, and it fell on that location, and a fire came and consumed the axe. So again, you see that there is some location around the Dira Eitzim where apparently, according to at least one tradition, the Aron is Ada Yom Hazeh, and that's why you have all of these wild stories of what happened when the location was almost revealed. Now, this sugya sort of comes up in Maseches Shkalim as well. In Shkalim, on Vavam Beis, the different shitos of the Makom HaNachas HaAron are also enumerated, and the Tan in the Mishnah over there says that the Aron was not Nigla LeBavel, but if it wasn't Nignas, he said it also wasn't Nignas B'Kodesh HaKadashim, rather was B'Lishchas Dira Eitzim, and it quotes the story of the Kohen Echad, Balmum, and he was Bika Eitzim L'Ma'aracha, who was chopping wood for the Ma'aracha in the Lishchas Dira Eitzim, and he saw a tile on the floor that was different, and he went to tell somebody else, and as he told the person, he dropped dead. So the Gemara understands from here that even though they knew that the Aron was there, still HaKadosh Baruch Hu killed him so that he wouldn't reveal the exact location of the Aron. So in the Sefer Masad Yerushalayim, he suggests the following idea. If that's all correct, that Kodesh Baruch Hu doesn't want the specific location revealed, even though it is in the Lishchas Dira Eitzim, he says maybe we could be miyashev why it is that we don't bring karbanos bizman hazeh if Tumah Sutra B'Tzibur. The whole concern is one of Tumah, and Tumah Sutra B'Tzibur, why is it that we can't bring karbanos bizman hazeh? So he suggests as follows. Since it's a Stam Mishnah that holds that the Aron is b'mekom u'nignas, so from the the story that in the story that we quote tells us clearly that it was b'makom anignas. So he says, according to that, the shulchanos and the mizbechos are ma'akvim ze'ezeh. That's the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabban, that the shulchanos and the mizbechos are ma'akvim ze'ezeh. The mizbeach hazahav needs to be mischanech b'ktores. And we don't know what the mala ashen is because we don't have all the simani ketores. We don't have the identification of the mala ashen. So we're never going to be able to be mechanech the mizbeach hazav, and memela we're not going to have mizbeach hanachoshes because they're ma'ak of each other, and that's why we're not able to be makrav karbanos bizman hazeh because of these hidden items, the items of just like, I guess what he's saying is that just like the Aron is hidden, so too the Mala Ashan also, because of those things that we don't know, so we're not able to be we're not able to be mechanech the proper items in order to prepare for the bringing of karbanos. Okay, weiter in the Gemara. Amar Rav Nachman, Tana v'cham amar, no, where are we? No, we're way past that. Rav Yehuda Rami. Yeah, Rav Yehuda Rami. Ksiv v'yiru rashi abadim. It says that they were able to see the tips of the badim, of the poles that came out of the aron. Uksiv lo yiru achutza. And it all says lo yiru achutza. You couldn't see the aron from outside. Haketzad, nirin ve'ein nirin. So what does this mean? It means it's somewhat visible, but not entirely visible. Tani nam yachi, ve'yiru rashi abadim, yach lo yu zazen mimakoman, tamalam v'yiruch abadim. You might think that they didn't move at all, and they just were all the way in the back of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and they didn't. You didn't see them at all. That's why it says Vayericha Abadim Yachul Yu Makarin BeParochas. You might think that they tore through the Parochas, and that's why you were able to see the Badim, because there were two holes where the Badim were able to peek out. VeYotzin and they came out of the Parochas. Tamalomar VeLo Yiruachutza. That's why the pasuk says no, they were not visible from outside. So HaKeitzad Dochkinu Boltin VeYotzin BeParochas VeNirin Kishnei Dadei Isha. They protruded out of from the Parochas, meaning the Parochas covered them. But you were able to see the double protrusion like the breasts of a woman. Shnemar tzora mar dodi li bein shaday alin. Amr of Katina Bishasha Yisrael Ol Leregel, when Klal Yisrael went to be Ol Leregel, Megalulin Lahemes Aparochas Umar Lemes Akruvim. So they unfurled the Parochas, they sort of rolled up the Parochas, and exposed the Kruvim. Shaymu'urim Zebazen, the Kruvim were hugging each other, Va'omrim Lahen, and they would say to Klal Yisrael, Ru'uchi Baskim Lefnei HaMakom, look how beloved you are to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kechibas Zachar Nekeva, like the love Zachar has for Nekeva. That's how HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves Klal Yisrael. So they would actually show them the Kruvim. Tiferes Yisrael raises the question. There is a Mishnah Midos, a well-known Mishnah in the fourth parak of Midos, that when Umnin would have to go and be Misakin the Kodesh HaKadoshim, when they'd have to fix things in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, they would lower them down in boxes, Kadesh Shelo Yazonu Einein, the base Kodesh HaKadoshim, so that their eyes wouldn't benefit from the vision, from the sight of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So how is it mutter for Olil Regalim to see the Kruvim in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, that everyone was just going to open up the doors and let everybody look in, even when people needed to go there to fix the place? We were so careful to lower them in boxes that nobody should be able to see anything. And now all of a sudden, everybody's allowed to see everything in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So he's mitarets, the Tiferes Yisrael's mitarets, that there's the Isser perhaps is only Nisad Rabbanon, but Litzorach Mitzvah, for the sake of the great Kiddush Hashem, of showing the Chibas HaMakom, maybe the Rabbanon thought that it was worthwhile to be matir. That's quite a chiddush, that the whole isser of seeing the inside of the Kodesh Kedashim is only an isser drabanan, and they felt that this was a great enough need to overpower that general isser drabanan. They say in the name of the stipler in the Gilyonos Kilis Yaakov that since those who were standing Be'ezras Yisrael were so far away from the Kodesh HaKadoshim, maybe that's not a violation of Yazonu Enei and Mikodesh HaKadoshim. Maybe they're not going to be able to see it with enough detail. They're not going to see the full glimmer and the full sparkle of it if they're so far away. So maybe that's not a violation. Maybe it's only seeing it from up close that's really a violation of. Yeah, this it's a question how they were able to see it at all, meaning from the Ezra Shul, very far from the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So, okay, so some of the Achronim suggest only the Kohanim were able to see it, and they told they told the Yisraelim, you should know, we just saw that the Kruvim were Murim Zebizah and Ruchi Baskel Mifnei HaMakom, that's what we saw. It doesn't sound that way from the Gemara, it sounds like they saw it themselves. But yeah, but if they saw it, they barely saw it. So that's why maybe it's not a violation in that regard. Rav Shechter points out in Ve'ikve Atzon, he points out that this the imagery of the boy and the girl, the kruvim that are hugging each other, and ruchi basam lefnei makom. The Gemara is going to go on over here and is going to tell us all about how the relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael is a man and a woman relationship. Everything is compared to a nisuin. Everything is compared to a marriage. The whole sugi over here we're going to see, it's all compared to a marriage. The whole relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. The Medrash Rashi quotes Maimon Har Sinai is bechinas nisuin between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. We already had erusin from before Maimon Har Sinai. So he says maybe that's the idea that we say v'shimcha gadol v'akadosh aleinu karasa, that we are called the Am Hashem, and we also say v'shmenu karasa b'shmecha, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is called Elokei Yisrael, that we're each called by each other's names. He says noig sheba olam, when a couple gets married they take each other's name, meaning either the, in some places historically the man would take the wife's name, and nowadays in our places the wife takes the husband's name, because they bal ki ishto, ishto kugufo means that they become a single unit. So that idea of Shimcha Gadol, so when our connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a double connection, we are the Am Hashem and he is Elokei Yisrael, we're both taking each other's names. He said it's not, Rashad likes to point out that it's not a surprise that in a society where that idea of taking each other's names has become less and less popular and everyone likes to keep their own names, that zika of marriage is not as respected anymore, and you have a higher divorce rate than you ever had in history, that if people fail to see a connection that becomes a single unit, so then they're not going to see it. They're not going to see that connection that becomes a single unit in one way or the other. So again the Gemara further says, okay, so they were able to show them the Kruvim, and they showed them, look how much Kodesh Baruch Hu loves you. So Masav Rav Chista says, wait a second, V'lo yavo liros kevalas HaKodesh V'amar Avidom Rav Bishas Achnasas Kelim Lenatek Shalahem, that even the Levium who carried the Kelim in the Midbar weren't allowed to see the Kelim when they were being packed up. They had to wait till they were covered and then they could start carrying the Kelim. So how could you say that they're going to show that particularly the Aron? They weren't allowed to see the Aron. So how could you say that they would roll up the parochas and let everyone see it? So again, it's a mashal to a kala, because that's what the mashals always do when it comes to the Beis HaMikdash. Calls manshi bebeis aviyah tsnua mibayla. When the kala is still bebeis aviyah, they only have erusin, she's still very tsnua around her husband. Kivan shabasa lebeis chameha ain't a tsnua mibayla. But once she has nisuin, so she's no longer tsnua mibayla. In the midbar, it was at the early stages of our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the kala was still tsnua mibayla. So there was still a sense of tsnius that we couldn't see the aron. Now in the Beis HaMikdash, where we already have nisuin with Ribbono Shalom, so then that sense of tzniyus doesn't have to be there anymore. Masr of Chana Bar of Katina, Maisa B'Koy Nechol Shei Misasi V'Chulei, Amalei Niskar Shaka. So he said, but wait a second, but what about this Maisa of Koy Nechol that was Nisasek, and you see that he wasn't allowed to see the Aron or even know where the Aron was after the Chorban of Ice, but this was way after the Nisuin. So the Gemara answers, yeah, it was after the Nisuin, and it was also after the Gerishin. Amalei Niskar Shaka, Amalei Niskar Shaka, Chazul Chibas HaRishona. Once you have the Gerishin, so then she goes back to being bashful of her husband and being more tsnua. So Mayaskinan, when was this that the Badei Ha'aron peeked through the parochas or sort of protruded from the parochas? Inema b'mikdash rishon miyavai parochas. If it was mikdash rishon, there was no parochas there. There was a wall there. So what are you talking parochas? El b'mikdash sheni miyav kruvim. And if it was mikdash sheni, there were no kruvim in the mikdash sheni. So what are they rolling up parochas to show them the kruvim? So says Mar Liola. I'm sorry, not in the Badei Aron. We're asking about the rolling up the parochas. If it was mikdash rishon, there was no parochas to roll up. If it was mikdash sheni, there was no kruvim to show them. So says Mar Liola b'mikdash rishon. It was a mikdash rishon, umay parochas, parochas tabavi. And when we say paroches, it means the paroches that covers the doorway. It couldn't have been a solid wall, because then they couldn't get through it. You had to get into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So there was an entranceway, and that entranceway was covered with a paroches. Dam Rabbi Zeir, Amarav, Shlosh Asar paroches hayu b'mikdash. There were 13 paroches in the Mikdash, Shiva keneged Shiva Sha'arim, 7 for the 7 gates, Shtayim, Achas, Episkel Shalechel, Vachel, Episkel Shalulam, 1 for the Pesach of the Hechel, 1 for the Pesach of the Ulam, Shtayim Bedvir, Shtayim keneged in Baaliyah. So that's the 13. But every doorway had a paroches. So there had to be a doorway in the wall in the Amitraxin in order to be able to get through. Rav Acha bar Yaakov Amar Liolim b'Mikdasheni. He says, no, we're talking about the Mikdasheni. What Kruvim did they show them? Ukruvim de Tzurasa Avukaimi. It was the Kruvim, not the actual Kruvim that stood on the ground next to the Aron that Shlomo HaMelech built. It's the Kruvim, the pictures of the Kruvim that were engraved on the wall of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. That's what they were showing them. The Chsiv is called Kiras Abayis Misav Kela Kruvim Tumurus Peturei Tzitzim Safazav Meshal Mukuka, Uksiv Kamar Eshu Levayos, my Kamar Eshu Levayos, Amra Bar Shila, Kiish Hamurabil Vayashalov. It's like the connection between a man and his wife. But all of these images were on the wall. That's what they were showing them. They weren't showing them actual Kruvim. Tosos raises the kash over here. He says, Nishalti, I was asked the Shaila, people who make pictures of Chayos and Ophos and all sorts of different things in Machzorim, in the Shardaf and on other pages in Machzorim, is it a good thing? So he says, Hishafti nearly the Vade lo Yafa Osim. He says, not a good idea to have too many pictures in a Machzor because it's going to distract people from having Kavana Lavim Shabashamayim. You're looking at too many pictures, you're going to be gazing at the pictures instead of having Kavana during the davening. But is it in Isra of Lo Sasal Chapesel of making images, of not producing foreign images? He says, no, it's not a violation of that because that's only Bitsurim that have mamashos to them that are bolate, but it's a picture that's a two-dimensional image. There's no iser in making two-dimensional images. And he says not only does the iser of owning images not apply to two-dimensional images, the iser of making images doesn't apply to two-dimensional images. So a person is allowed to have to take photographs, take pictures of things, print out pictures of things, and as long as it's two dimensions. So it could be of human beings, of anything. You're allowed to have two-dimensional, not anything, but anything that we perceive in two dimensions, in three dimensions, you're allowed to have a two-dimensional image of. And then later on it says, Amnam al kisei Shlomo ani tamia. He says, but I can't really easily explain what was going on in the Shlomo HaMelech's throne. Because Shlomo HaMelech's throne had all sorts of statues and lions that were sort of came alive at different times. How is he allowed to do that? How is he allowed to build a throne like that, or even keep a throne like that? On the steps leading up to the throne, another 12 lions. He says, and don't tell me that it was al piya dibur. Because the Navi doesn't have the right to be mechadish davar. So there's no way that he was able to do that, even though you have such a thing as a rasha. But look, he kept this throne for a long time. But maybe when it's the Migdar Milsa, it's different. And he says, this was the Migdar Milsa. How is it the Migdar Milsa? Because when Edom came to be made, the lions would roar, and it would scare the Edom, and they would be afraid to be made sheker. So it was the Migdar Milsa that kept people honest. If you were coming and you were about to tell a lie, and you saw those lions roaring at you, those lions that aren't really alive roaring at you, so that was pretty scary. So it caused everybody to tell the truth. So the Migdar Milsa, he says, maybe it was permissible. Or he says, maybe other people made it. So what, other people made it? You're still not allowed to keep it. It's an Isra of Chashad to keep such images. He said, no, it's no Chashad because there were so many people by him constantly that there was no Chashad, that everyone knew that they never saw Shlomo acting at all inappropriately with these lions, that he never worshipped them, he never did anything, never brought it. It was, they were in such a public place. Shlomo, the Kisei of Shlomo Melch, Shlomo was a tourist attraction. That's why the economy in Yerushalayim was so amazing when Shlomo Melch was king. Everyone came to see his Chachma, the Navi tells us. Everyone wanted to get a glimpse at the Chachma of Shlomo HaMelech. So people were coming in from all over the place. It was always busy in the palace of Shlomo HaMelech. Hi, what about the Kosel Heichel and Kodesh HaKadoshim, Tziyurim, Chakukim, B'Kosel? So he says, Al Pi Adibur, Akol B'Ksav. He says, that could have been Al Pi Adibur, that everything was allowed. Or he says, maybe anything that's attached to the wall is not a violation, even if it's in three dimensions. If it's separate unit, then it's a violation. Maybe if it's attached to the wall, it's not a violation of the Halacha. Okay, Amrei Shlaksh on the top of Nundalim Beis. B'Shosh Nuchtos Nachum LaHeichel Ro. When the Nachrim came into the Heichel, they saw the Kruvim connected to each other, hugging each other. These holy Jewish people, that when they give a bracha, their bracha means something. When they give a klala, their klala means something. And they're involved in this kind of imagery in their holiest place of a boy and a girl hugging each other. How inappropriate. Miyadi zilum shnemar kol mechvadei zilua kiro ervasa. That they mocked it and they degraded our mikdash because they kirau ervasa, as the pasuk says, because they saw it as erva, they saw it as something that was inappropriate. Obviously, it's not something that's inappropriate. The Maharal in Netzach Yisrael is a beautiful explanation. The Maharal in the fifth parak Netzach Yisrael writes that the chibur of HaKadosh Baruch Hu with Klal Yisrael was through the Aron. As we know, that was the makom Ashras Hashchina, where it was at its most intense, where the Torah and the Luchos were, to show that the chibur of Klal Yisrael comes through the Torah. That the ikar of the chibur is always with Aaron and Luchos. The ikar of the chibur is always with Torah. And he says maybe that's the explanation that Titus HaRasha goes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim and he takes the Sefer Torah va'avar aleh aveira, the Gemara says that Titus HaRasha did. Maybe it's not kipshuto. Maybe it doesn't mean kipshuto that he literally brought a zona into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Maybe what it means to say is that when this Rasha comes in, it was a bala v'dazara to the Kodesh HaKadoshim, to the place where the Aaron is there and the Torah and the Luchos, which is the place where Klal Yisrael connects to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's ki'ilu nichnas im azona. It's as if he came with the zona, with the koach avodah zarah shalom. He says that's the hitziyah sefer Torah va'avar la avera. The sefer Torah is the symbol of the chibur between Knesset Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Bringing in a bala avodah zarah like this is bringing in a zona to that makom achibur. Maral is quick to point out it's not that Titus HaRasha wasn't evil enough to actually bring in a zona. He's just not. It's not a question of whether he would have. It's a question of whether he did bring in a zona. Certainly he would have. He would not have hesitated if he would have thought of it. But he's not convinced that's what it actually means when we say that he brought in a zona. Okay, v'shsiya haisa nikres. We said this Evan was called Evan Shesia. Tanah shemenu hushsasa olam. The world was built from it. Tanan command the yomer mitzion nivra olam. We have a mishnah like the shita that says that the world was created from tzion. The tanya, we have several shitos as to how the world was created. Rav Lazar omer olam yom tzi iso nivra. Shemar b'tzekas afer lemotzek v'rogav yidu vaku. That the world was created from its central point, from the center of the earth. Rabbi Yeshua omer olam minat stadin nivra. The world was created from the sides. Shemar, because as the pasuk says, ki lashelig yomer hevei aretz. V'geshe matar, v'geshe mitros uzo. Rabbi Yitzchak Amar, Evan Yara HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'yam, that Hashem threw a stone into the sea, mimenu nishsasa olam, and the world was created from that. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, alma adoneha hitabu o mi yara evan pinasa. V'cham amrim mitzion nivra. And the Chum say it was created from Tzion. Shenemar mizmer la asaf el elokim Hashem va'omer, and the pasuk also says that mitzion mechlal yofi elokim. So muvlal yofo shel olam. Tanya Rabbi Lazar Agadolomer. Ela told us Shemayim va'aretz bihibaram biyom asos Hashem elokim eretz v'shemayim. Told us Shemayim mishemayim nivru. That which is in heaven, Hashem created from the heavens. Told us aretz me'aretz nivru. That which is here on earth, Hashem created from the earth. And the Chum say everything was created from Tzion. Shnemar mizmer la'asaf elokim Hashem davar v'yikra eretz mimizrach shemesh advav v'amr mitzion mechal yofi elokim ofiyah mimenu mechal yofiyo shalolam. That from that comes all the yofiyo shalolam. So the idea that it's mitzion nivru is not against the idea that it was me'amtzi isa. Meaning the point is that it's that Tzion is the amtsa of the world, that it is considered the focal point of the world. Meaning the world is a globe. So the question is which way do you hold it? You could look at it. we're used to thinking North Pole, South Pole, North Pole on top, but you can hold it any which way technically. So Eretz Yisrael is the focal point. That's the central point. That's the Emtzi Iso Shel Olam, from which everything else comes about. Okay.